Thank you, Stephen. Let's pray that the Lord will come and speak to us. Lord, we praise you that you have made us and you know us through and through, intimately, everything about us. And you love us more than we can possibly imagine. And we pray that you would pour your Spirit on us. And that however we've come to view ourselves, your truth that you love us and care for us will come deeply into our being, that we would be able to walk out of here knowing that we are significant in your sight. So speak to us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you may have heard of Thelma Howard. It may only be because you've heard me mention her before. But Thelma Howard was a lady who died back in 1981. She had lived her life as a cleaner in America. She cleaned for the same couple week in and week out for over 40 years. Every year when Christmas came, she hoped they would give her a bonus of a crisp $10 bill or a $20 bill. But instead, the husband gave her shares in his business. Thelma wasn't very pleased. She could have used the $10 or the $20. But she didn't complain. She reckoned he was a good employer. And every year, she popped this share certificate in a shoebox under her bed. Her boss died sometime before her, and eventually she died in 1981. She died without having much money, and poor, and with nothing much to her name, until people discovered the shoebox under her bed. Thelma's employer and his wife were Walter and Lillian Disney, and in the shoebox under her bed were shares in Walt Disney worth $6 million, and she had no idea about it. Now, there are many Christians in a similar position. Jesus has won for us incredible freedom. And many Christians live their lives as if he hasn't. As it were, the truths of the scripture may be there by the side of the bed, just like Thelma's shares were in a shoebox under her bed. But they haven't been appropriated. They haven't been, if you like, cashed in. They haven't become part of our life. And what we're doing this month is trying to think through how Jesus wants us to be set free in every area of our lives to be the people he's made us to be. Let's just recap on the some bits of freedom that we looked at, some classic Christian verses on freedom. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. St. Paul said, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Jesus said at the start of his ministry, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to proclaim freedom for captives, to release the oppressed. Now, in the sense that you or I are less than the full human beings that God's made us to be, if there's anything spoiling our humanity, Jesus has come to release us from that. We thought a couple of weeks ago, and this is just to recap, that there are sort of three tenses of freedom or salvation. When you read through the epistles, sometimes St. Paul says that we have been saved, and sometimes he says we are being saved, and sometimes he says we will be saved, and you think, well, make your mind up. But it's all three of these. We have been saved. We have been set free from the penalty of sin. We've been forgiven because of what Jesus has done. Once we've given our lives to him, we've repented of our sin, we live with him, we bow the knee to him as our Lord, we are forgiven. You are set free from the penalty of sin. You are free. There's no more guilt. But we still know that we have a battle against sin in our lives. God is at work by his Holy Spirit. We are being set free. We are being saved from the power of sin. It can have a grip on us, and Jesus is freeing us from the effects of it. And it's this particularly that we're thinking about this month, how we can cooperate with God's Holy Spirit in helping us to be set free from all the damage of sin in our life. And one day, when Jesus returns, and not before then, we will be set free from the very presence of sin. There will be a whole new heaven and a whole new earth, and we will be with him in glory in the new earth that he's made, utterly set free from the presence of sin. That will be marvelous, and we look forward to that day. But in the time being, we are being set free from the power of sin. And we're focusing this month on areas in our lives which we've called strongholds. These may be ingrained patterns of belief or behaviour which through ongoing repetition have become part of us and have bound us. It may be lies we've believed that Jesus wants to set us free from. And tonight we're thinking about being set free from any feeling of insignificance. Many people go around feeling insignificant. The devil, from time to time, well, he's always trying to cut us off from God's love. If he can't push us into pride and thinking we don't need God's forgiveness, he'll push us the other way to thinking that we don't deserve it. Why should God care for us? But the truth is that God loves you and cares for you more deeply than you can possibly imagine. And this area of feeling insignificant, God wants to set us free from. Now, that psalm that Stephen read for us speaks of how God knows us right from our mother's womb. He knit us together. He knows everything we do. He knows everything we say. He knows everything we think. And when God notices you like that, you are deeply significant. We are, all the way through Scripture, we read that God has created us, that we're made in his image. That means we are significant. That's why everybody matters, because we're made in the image of God. And we're told that God has made us. We are his poetry, his workmanship, Paul writes in Ephesians 2:10. We are God's craftsmanship, created with particular things he would have us do. But the first thing about that is that we are his craftsmanship. And if he's made you, you are deeply significant. And more than that, not only has God made us, but Jesus has died so we can be forgiven. And if Jesus has died for you, you are incredibly significant. Would you turn on to Ephesians chapter 1? I asked for Psalm 139 to be read at the start about how God knows us through and through. But I found, as I've been preparing myself, drawn over the last 24 hours to Ephesians chapter 1. This is page 240 in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 1 is full of how God has lavished his blessings on us. And if God chooses to lavish his blessings on you and on me, then we are deeply significant in his sight. Let me read from Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And then Paul goes on to expel some of them out. Verse 4, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. God chose us. Now, I can remember being in the playground at school when teams get chosen. And I was not one of the first to be picked. And I remember what that felt like, thinking, oh, please may I not be last. And thinking that in the pit of your stomach, that was how the teams were always picked. And two captains would pick and they'd pick. Now, whether that's your experience or as it was mine sometimes, the point is God has chosen you. And if God has chosen you, it really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. You are deeply significant to the creator of the whole world. He's chosen us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Then in looking at verse 5, he's predestined us to be adopted as his sons or his children through Jesus Christ. We have been adopted. Once you are a Christian, you're in Christ, you are adopted as a child of God. That is incredibly powerful. When parents are adopting children, they go, there may be a baby that's available for adoption, and the parents go and choose that child. And in Christ, God has adopted you and me to be part of his family. So we can call God, the creator of the universe, we can call him Abba, Father, Daddy. That makes us very significant. We've been forgiven, redeemed is the word here, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Now, to redeem something means to buy it back. In the days long before credit cards, if you needed to buy something and you didn't have the money, you would take something valuable and take it to the pawnbrokers, and they would get maybe a diamond ring or something, and they would give you a couple of hundred pounds for it or whatever it was, and you would then have some money that you, if you need. Then if you wanted your diamond ring back, you would have to get the money together and you would go back to the pawnbroker and you would pay the money over and a bit more to buy it back, to redeem it. Now, the price that was paid for us by God, God made us, but when we sinned, we became slaves of sin, and the price that was paid for us was the blood of Jesus. And he paid that price for you and for me. That makes us significant. Verse 9, he's made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. What's the world all about? Philosophers, goodness me, in universities, they heap up degrees trying to work out what the world's about. And God has revealed it to us, that we've been made to know him. That's what it's about. And that one day Jesus will return and everything will be made new. And we have the opportunity to tell others about it. God has told us what the world is about. We've been let in on the secret of the universe. That makes you significant. Let me just do one more here. Let's skip through to verse 13. You were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. You've been given the Holy Spirit. When we become a Christian, God puts his Holy Spirit in us. That is an incredibly wonderful gift to be given. And the Holy Spirit is described here as a deposit, a down payment. There's more to come. And in eternity, God will give more of his love to us. In fact, the Greek word for deposit here is used in modern Greek for an engagement ring. An engagement ring is, if you like, a promise that there's more to come. And God's given us the Holy Spirit. Now that makes us incredibly significant. And yet all through our life, the devil tells us his lies that, well, that's for everybody else. That's not for you. Yes, everybody else is significant, but you're not. And some of us have been told those lies as children, or at school, or at work, that we don't count, that we're nobody, that we'll never get anything right, that we'll never amount to anything, that we don't make any difference. And they are lies. The truth is that God loves us, Jesus has died for us, he cares about us and notices everything about us. As Jesus said, even the hairs on our head are numbered, which is not so difficult for him. But he knows everything about us. Now, all of us have thoughts about ourselves which are not good. And all of us have some lies that are affecting us to a greater degree or other. But for some people tonight, this whole area of feeling insignificant is a really big thing. It's become a stronghold. Last week I illustrated this by tying someone up with a thread of cotton. One thread of cotton and you can snap out of it. Five threads of cotton and you can snap out of it. In the morning last week, 20 threads of cotton was enough that Rachel couldn't snap out of it, though Joe in the evening with 25 could snap out of it. But had there been 50 threads of cotton, even Joe would have been stuck. And these lies, when they come again and again and again, bind us. And what we want to do tonight is to seek to identify how much of an issue this feeling of insignificance is in our lives, and then to break the power of it through repentance. So if we could give out the sheets, please, Andrew. And while these sheets are coming out, everybody's going to be given a copy of a worksheet, which we'll have plenty of time to work through. I'm just going to go through the model we're using. So, Martin, if you could put up the five R's. The first R is to recognize where there is an issue. So this worksheet is what there's a whole load of stuff on pages 2 and 3 here. Whole load of things that may be true for us. One or two of them, for some of us just one or two. For others of us, quite a lot of these. First thing is to recognize how much of an issue this is. The second R is to repent of any lies we have believed. If we believe we're rubbish and we're insignificant and God doesn't notice us, that's a lie, and we've chosen to believe a lie. And we have to repent of that and choose to believe the truth. So we're going to, well, give time to recognize, then to repent. The third R is to receive God's forgiveness and to receive the strength of his Holy Spirit and to receive his truth indeed. The fourth R is to rebuke the evil one and any forces, any demonic forces, They love to hold us captive by whispering lies in our ears, by getting us to believe the lies. And if we've believed that we don't count in God's sight, then the demonic forces love to sort of piggyback on that. We're going to rebuke them, and as Jesus said, rebuke the devil and he will flee. And the last R is to replace. We choose to replace the lie, replace the stronghold with the truth. And we'll spend some time praying in the truth that we are God's children, adopted into his family, loved by a loving heavenly Father. So we're going to give 5 minutes just to look through these tick boxes on pages 2 and 3. Most folks will have a chance to get through most of these. But this will give just a chance to recognize how much of an issue this is for us. By now, you'll be able to begin to recognise how much of an issue this is for you. For some, it'll just be ticking a few boxes, and there may be some specific things that God's put his finger on. For others, maybe ticking quite a lot of boxes, or maybe in some sections, because this comes out differently for different people. For example, in section D, for some folks, feeling insignificant can cause us to avoid healthy, God-given challenges. For other people, section J, you may not have got there, insignificance can lead people to desperately try and do loads and loads and loads of stuff so they feel better about themselves. But it's supremely, we need to become more like Jesus, who accepted God's love for him first. Do you remember at his baptism, the Father said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I'm well pleased," long before Jesus did anything of significance. That it's getting, knowing our significance in him, and that's our inner identity, not from what we achieve. So it comes out differently for different ones of us. But this is a useful checklist in helping us to recognise where this is playing out, particularly if there are lies we've believed. We're then going to go through these prayers in section 3 here, breaking free of insignificance and inferiority. And we're going to take these one at a time. So under A, where it says repent, just give you a chance to read through that prayer. A couple of bits to highlight here. We're asking forgiveness for not believing the truth, for believing the lies. And we're identifying that as sin. We're recognising it is sinful not to believe what God has said. So if God says you are an adopted child and you choose not to believe that and say I'm insignificant, that's sinful. And when we repent of it, it can be dealt with. So we're going to repent of that, and then I'll lead in a prayer of receiving God's forgiveness straight away. We're then going to rebuke the evil one, and every spirit of anger, jealousy, competition, self-pity, unbelief, rebellion, insecurity, there's a whole long list of them. Just read through that. We're going to rebuke the devil from the way he's piggybacked on this feeling of insignificance. Chance just to read through that prayer. And then over the page, there's a replace and receive. I think the receiving should come almost at every stage. We repent and we receive. We receive the strength of the Holy Spirit. We're going to replace the lies of the evil one that we've believed with the truth of who God is and what he says about me. I choose to believe that I am precious, loved, and chosen by God, and he withholds no good thing from me. Now, they talk about if you do something once, it doesn't become rooted in you. But if you do something day after day after day after day after day after day, it does become part of you. So we can build really healthy stuff into us by choosing to believe the truth about who we are and going on, disciplining ourselves to replace the lie with the truth. And then we're going to receive this prayer D here, receive. Jesus, I receive your promised forgiveness. I pray for and in faith, receive the infilling of your spirit to live a supernatural life. I recognize and receive my significance, your love and favor toward me, how purposefully and intricately you created me, and the amazing purpose you have for me in my life. Now, we're going to go through these prayers, and there's great power in speaking them out loud, in choosing to declare these things out loud. So can I invite you to stand, and I'll lead us through this prayer. First of all, then, the prayer of repentance. Now, let's just pause for a moment of quiet and identify exactly what there may be one specific thing, that a lie you've believed. It may be one section of this was particularly significant. It may just be the whole area that you've just believed you are completely insignificant. It's a lie, and we're going to repent of believing that. We won't say the bit in brackets, okay? You can work through that on your own more fully if you want to. But let's pray this prayer together. Jesus, I ask forgiveness for every way insignificance and inferiority have affected my life and the lives of those around me. I ask for your forgiveness for walking in unbelief about the way you made me and about your great love and plans for me. I see it and call it sin. I now turn in repentance, committing myself to breaking the patterns of insignificance and inferiority in my life. Lord, we thank you that when Jesus died on the cross, he died for all our sin, including the lies we've chosen to believe. And so in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I declare forgiveness for all these lies that have been believed. Now receive that forgiveness. Just breathe in. And as you breathe in, receive the forgiveness of God. He loves you as a child. We're now going to pray this second prayer here, under B, rebuking any powers of darkness who've influenced or piggybacked on this. We're going to tell them to go, and in Jesus' name they have to go. And it's quite good to say this loudly and clearly together. We are emphatic about this. We don't want anything to do with these evil spirits in our lives at all. So we rebuke them loudly together. In Jesus' name and authority, I rebuke the spirit of insignificance. I take authority over every area of my life that I have given over to insignificance and inferiority. Every spirit of anger, jealousy, competition, self-pity, unbelief, rebellion, insecurity, and every deceiving spirit must go to the feet of Jesus. With the authority I have in Jesus, I renounce and rebuke in Jesus' name every spirit that would lie to me about who God is and what he says about me. Lord God, how we praise you that you say, when we rebuke the evil one, he flees. So we pray that you would keep him and all demonic forces far away from us. May we not take in their lies anymore, but choose to receive and dwell on your truth. So that brings us to the third prayer, the one of replacing. We're going to, instead of listening to the lies, we're going to choose to believe the truth. Now, for some of us, saying these words out loud is going to be incredibly significant. We're saying under this prayer, see, I choose to believe that I am precious, loved, and chosen by God. It can be quite difficult to speak this out if it's been an issue for you. And speaking it out loud has an incredible power. So we say together, I replace the deceptions of the enemy with the truth of who God is and what he says of me. I choose to believe that I am precious, loved, and chosen by God, and that he withholds no good thing from me. And so let's receive all that God has to give us, praying this prayer of receiving forgiveness and the strength of his spirit as we pray together. Jesus, I receive your promised forgiveness. I pray for and in faith receive the infilling of your Holy Spirit to live a supernatural life. I recognize and receive my significance, your love and favor toward me, how purposefully and intricately you created me, and the amazing purpose you have for me in my life. Lord Jesus, how we praise you that you died to set us free from the penalty of sin, from the effects of sin, and one day from the presence of sin. And we long that you would set each one of us totally free from these lies that we've believed about insignificance. We pray for all of us that you would, by your Holy Spirit, remind us of the truth of who we are in Christ. That we are chosen and adopted and forgiven and filled with your Holy Spirit. That we are your craftsmanship, your workmanship, your poetry, that you've taken care. We pray that as we read through Psalm 139 on our own another time, you would thrill us with the care you've taken in making us. And we pray that you would help us to be disciplined in choosing to believe the truth day after day after day, until it is filled through every part of our being. And we know through and through that we are loved and adopted and significant in your sight. We pray you'd release us from comparing ourselves with others. We pray you'd release us from trying to achieve in order to feel significant. We pray you'd release us to be the people you've made us to be and to do the things you've called us to do. And all these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.